Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here on a Zoom with my mum. Say hi.
Hi, darling. Been a good week this week.
It's not been bad, not gonna lie.
Alex on the One Show.
Yeah, Dr. Alex getting filmed with everyone on the One Show. That was lovely.
Yeah, and then we've been nominated for a podcast award.
The British Podcast Awards. We've never been nominated for one and it's amazing. Woo! It's taken us 3 years, but we're finally in it and it's for the Spotlight Award and it's among such other brilliant, brilliant...
Spotlight.
I know, maybe it's a sign. Woo! Maybe we'll win it.
Spotlight. Yeah, maybe.
But we're amongst such brilliant podcasts, such as Guilty Feminist, Happy Mum, Happy Baby, My Dad Wrote a Porno. I feel like, you know, they're old vets now. They can pass on the baton, don't you think?
Yes.
Thank you so much for the nomination. There is also, by the way, a Listener's Choice Award that you can offer to vote for us on. Maybe we'll put it out on Instagram for you to have a little look at if you need an activity whilst in lockdown.
Darling, has Sam eaten the apple crumble that I made for your brother?
We've got it in the freezer. I actually saw Dr. Alex for the first time. We had our socially distanced chat on Blackheath.
Oh, how was he?
He was all right, actually. I think he's been in a really tough bubble. Probably more exciting than seeing my dear brother was seeing Jack Fincham from Love Island socially distancing, chatting to his mate and getting a little Instagram photo session happening. Had to text the group WhatsApp, Love Island WhatsApp. And that was really quite a highlight for me.
Hasn't he just had a baby?
Yes, the baby was not there, but his veneers and his crisp white shirt was.
Okay.
What else has been happening this week? I have been cooking up a storm. I can't stop doing halloumi with honey and sesame seed.
Nice.
It's so good.
Okay, I'll order some. Did you give Uncle Alex... Why didn't you give Dr. Alex his apple crumble?
Dr. Alex didn't want me to bring anything to carry. Also, I didn't quite realise how hilly South East London is. It's fantastic, but thank God I didn't have a crumble in my bag. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I would have rolled down the hill.
That is a big hill.
So tonight we have an incredible voice, a memorable voice, a voice that was stopped from being allowed to put out music for a very long time. It's JoJo. You may remember her as the very young singer who had this phenomenal voice and sung the song Get Out. And then A Little Too Late. I mean, they're songs that everyone will know because they were such international hits. And she had quite a dramatic, difficult time with a label that she was on, which meant that she couldn't put music out for a very long time. And it was incredibly frustrating. She's back. She's been back for a while, but she's made this critically acclaimed record, number one in the R&B charts in the States. Won a Grammy last year and she's doing all right. And this is JoJo, and I'm sure she's going to tell us about this incredible story, which is what a horrendous time she had in the industry.
I don't know very much about her except what I did watch something on YouTube, and she's got a phenomenal voice. So I'm looking forward to hearing all about her and her childhood. JoJo coming up on Table Manners Special Circumstances.
Darling. Hi, you're all upside down, babe.
Should I be like that?
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
So we've got JoJo on the podcast. You're in LA and you are quarantined with your mum and your dog.
Yes. Yes. My mom moved out from Boston to LA because I'm her only child and we wanted to be closer together, and She came out here and was looking for a job and then found one. So she was going to be staying with me temporarily, but that has since extended.
And how's it going for you?
To be honest, it's really nice. Like we're really in a great place. When I was a teenager and earlier in my 20s, it was not so sweet, but we're awesome. We're good.
That's so good. You didn't just see the Barney that Mum and I just had before this started.
I didn't. You were just shouting at me.
Why?
Well, because I couldn't get Wi-Fi in my fucking place. Basically, everyone's Zooming at this time because it's like 6 o'clock in the UK. Well, now it's 6:30 in the UK evening. So everyone's Zooming in to their families. And so I was like, I can't get the connection in my room. So I've just kicked my kids out of the living room where they were watching like In the Night Garden. And I was shouting at my mum on the earpods, but my daughter didn't realise. So she thought I was shouting at her and she's gone to bed very upset. But anyway, we're fine. We're fine. She's fine. My husband's with her. But anyway.
But your daughter would love to see Joe because that hair is princess hair if ever I saw it.
She likes princess hair.
Oh my God, that hair.
Oh yeah. She'd think you are basically Rapunzel from Tangled. Yeah. That would be it.
I'm a Boston Rapunzel.
Is it your hair, Joe?
Girl, no. It is now, but no.
Well, as Cheryl said, it's mine. I bought it.
Exactly. I bought it. It's mine. That's right. I ain't renting it.
So, I mean, I feel like, look, we've both got, well, you've got your record out and it's doing really well. And I have a record coming out and promoing a record in quarantine has been interesting. I don't know. How's it been for you?
Yeah. Interesting feels like the right word to describe it for sure.
Unique.
But it's been really, yeah, unique. I mean, I haven't put on proper shoes like to leave the house in 3 months. So it's been interesting to perform the material actually. Like that's been the weirdest thing I would say, to perform it from my living room and like not be able to have that audience interaction because I was meant to be on tour right now. So that's been interesting. But as far as like talking to people, it's just been adjusting to the new normal. It's neither bad or good. It's just different. You know what I mean?
I know COVID-19 is a bugger for a lot of people, but particularly you had your new record out. You just, you had this new record, you were emancipated, you were feeling empowered and probably are still, but like, and then this has to happen and then you're not allowed to go and perform it live.
You just gotta laugh.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You just gotta laugh. Yeah, the first single on the album, Man, came out like a week before LA locked down. And I was like, oh, no way, yo, this is crazy. But I just really try to keep it in perspective and like realize that this is a really terrible time for a lot of people. I'm mad lucky. I have everything I need. Yeah. And thankfully, I mean, we were able to make an amazing impact. People are loving the album. Number one R&B album on Billboard. I'm very thankful. And I try to keep that in the front of my mind because I don't want to take this too personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the universe is conspiring against me. Like, this is effed up. This is a crazy experience for everybody.
Yeah. So growing up in Boston with your mom and your dad, mom and dad were separated?
Yeah, they got divorced when I was like 4. So then I would do the back and forth thing between Massachusetts and New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
That's a bit of a, is that a bit of a schlep or?
It was a bit of a schlep. From Foxborough in Mass to Nashua, New Hampshire, it was like about an hour and a half drive. So my dad would come pick me up like every other weekend for a while. And yeah, I mean, that was what our schedule was.
And what was it like growing up? Like, was your mom a good cook?
No.
Did she, what were you eating? No. Oh no, really?
My mom hates cooking. And it's funny because I am now, I love to cook. I love to bake. And I'm the one that does that here. I love to entertain and to serve people. It brings me so much joy, like seeing people enjoy what I've made. Similar to music, you know? And my mom would do a lot of, let's see, pasta, like, but just, you know, like pasta and then like a store-bought marinara sauce, you know, and stir fry, but she never enjoyed cooking. She'd be like, ah, you know, she really didn't like it. A lot of frozen stuff.
Right.
With my dad. Like we had this, have you guys heard of Boston Market?
No.
It's a chicken place.
No, what is it?
Not just in Boston. They even have them in LA, but like you'll get like a rotisserie chicken. And then there's like baked apples and mashed potatoes and macaroni.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's that really good. Wow. Yeah, it's there's actually one by LAX Airport.
Why cook if there's a Boston market?
Wait, so Lenny,
yeah,
do you enjoy cooking, or did you, was it something that you just did out of necessity?
Now that's a big question. I am a cook and I am a feeder. I don't know that it's always given me a lot of joy to feed. Mm. And maybe mums don't feel that because they cook relentlessly.
Right.
I know that I would always cook. So I'm on my own at the moment and I cook for myself each night. And I cook for neighbours or a friend down the road who just lost his wife, a young man. So I'll give him some food, you know, a friend.
That is such a beautiful love language.
She's bloody good.
And then I'll cook and stuff for Jessie. So this Friday, I'll probably cook a roast chicken and take it over to her house for them.
That is so beautiful.
Because she's got limited facilities at the minute. So I can cook and I'm a good cook. But it doesn't always bring me the joy that it brings you.
Absolutely not.
So my mom has been a caretaker, though, for a lot of her life, taking care of families, kids, like watching kids and stuff. So I think that, yeah, she had to do things that when she got home to me, she was like,
yeah,
I don't want to like whip something up, like, you know.
I mean, look, today, Mum, you'll laugh. So I eat with my kids. I like to try and eat with them as much as possible. So I've already eaten my dinner. So everyone thinks I'm slightly kind of odd, and we'll have a 5 o'clock dinner. It suits me nicely.
What did you have tonight?
So my husband finally got the gas barbecue going, but he was unimpressed. He's like, give me charcoal any day, but he did it reluctantly. Mum, we made it very simple. I did sausages. I did some miso aubergine, so easy, with a bit of honey and sesame seeds. And then we did some halloumi with honey. Halloumi and honey and sesame is the best.
God.
It's so easy, though. So bish, bash, bash. And then I do these really nice haricot beans, like white beans. Do them with some onion, white wine, parsley. I would have done cream if I had it. So anyway, I was doing just bits and bobs.
I'm loving it.
No, we eat well every night.
Oh, we eat a lot too. Like more is more in our family. Like it's just like have more and more will come. Yeah, so I've had my dinner. Have you had your breakfast? You're in LA, so you must have just had brekkie.
No, you know, I actually kind of do a version of intermittent fasting where I don't eat until really just when I start eating when I'm genuinely hungry.
So how many hours do you usually go? You like a 16-hour one or a 14-hour or 12?
See, I eat late into the night, kind of, you know, like last night I ate some like just random stuff, like some popcorn and some cherries and some chocolate bits and stuff. So I ate maybe till like 11 is when I stopped snacking. And then I will probably eat for the first time at like 1 o'clock today.
Okay,
so that's
fine.
Yes, but I'm having coffee, so it's not a true fast.
Yeah, no. When I do that, I just have coffee.
No, you're allowed to do the coffee,
but I have it with almond milk.
Oh, who cares? I won't tell anyone. But because you were so restricted, you know, I've heard about you and your story and how the record label put pressure on you to not be fit but to be thin, and you're on 500 calories a day. So did you develop an eating disorder, would you say?
I would say that my eating was I developed disordered eating like after that experience. Well, probably from that,
yeah,
because I was on these injections that made your body not hungry and made you think that your body was pregnant, I guess. And then it like takes what the nourishment that it would give to the baby, but like you excrete it. I'm not exactly sure what it was called, but it was.
How old were you, Joe?
I was 18.
Bloody hell.
And then the diet was like, you know, you'd have like some, maybe a little bit of an avocado and some blackberries or strawberries, and then like some chicken breast. And because I was legally an adult, I felt like, well, this is just part of what it is to be in the industry, right? I mean, I saw plenty of examples of women who were in pop music who were really just not living a life of enjoyment and satisfaction when it came to food. So I was like, I guess this is just kind of the relationship that a lot of people have. But after that, and after my record didn't come out, even when I got on that diet and I got skinny and all this stuff, then I was like, ah, fuck it. You know, whatever, yo. Like, there's no benefit to living this way. So then I would say that I started engaging in like more binge eating, where I would just gorge myself on whatever it is that I wanted. And it would go from sweet to salty to savory, whatever. And I would just like have an insatiable appetite because I was obviously, it spoke to a unhappiness and just like a feeling out of sorts. And food can be a great way to feel better in the moment. So yeah, I don't know if I would say it was an eating disorder, but you could definitely, I definitely identify with, you know, I've had disordered eating.
I watched that Honda up front, kind of mini doc. It was really good.
Yo, they did a good job. They condensed a whole life so far into 25 minutes. I was like, this was effective.
I thought it was really well put. And I feel like, you know, many people that are listening to this podcast may not know the backstory. And I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I do feel like it has shaped you as the artist that you are today. If I'm putting words in your mouth, I don't know. I mean, it's a bloody story.
No, you're right.
But I wondered whether you would want to kind of expand on that and kind of take us from the beginning.
You started, you were a child star. You were performing when you were very little.
Yes. Yeah, I've been singing as long as I can remember. I was raised south of Boston. My mom was a soloist at our Catholic church, and she was cleaning houses. And I was a very precocious little girl, and I always knew that I wanted to.
I've seen the videos. Yeah. They were amazing.
I always wanted to sing. I was very, very.
You're a pro.
I was addicted to the feeling.
There's that video, though, that you've just come off stage and you're about six, and you're like, they go, I think your mum's saying, did you enjoy that? And you go, you drink your little drink, and you're like, yeah, it was great. And then this guy go, little boy says behind, he's like, you were really good. And you go, thanks, you're like a pro at six. You're kind of like, yeah, yeah, cool, thanks so much, thank you so much.
just another day, this is what I do. I was just so long story short, so by the time that I signed my first record deal at 12 years old, I was like, oh, it's about time. I've been doing this my whole life, you know? But I was actually, yeah, I've been offered like production deals and stuff even younger than that. My first offer was from Britney Spears' production company when I was about 9 years old, because I met her and her lawyer, and then they drafted up something. But my mom was like, you know what? You're too young. Like, you're not, you're like 10 years old. So by the time that I was 12, though, I was being bullied a lot in school, and I moved to, I convinced my mom, who was a single mom, and we were so, so close. And we had a cousin out in California, and I was like, please, mom, can we please move to California? Like, kids don't understand me here. And I'm so, you know, I have no friends, blah, blah, blah. Please let me go to California. So somehow we went, and yeah, I lived in this like small town in near Los Angeles, but not there. And I'd go to auditions a lot. Signed a record deal at 12 years old. This label, a small independent company that actually started Aaliyah with her career. And they founded the company because she was so young when she first started. She was about 13 or 14 when she signed, and was making her first album with R. Kelly. But it was hard to find a record label home for her. So they started their own label. So she had already passed away by the time that I signed to them. But they ended up moving us back to New Jersey so I could work on my first album there and be closer to their main office and all that stuff.
But that's not just the reason, is it?
Oh, apparently the child labor laws were more lax in New Jersey and New York than it, you know, in California. There's a lot of things meant to protect children from like in getting into long, you know, difficult service agreements and things like that. And it was just a little more sus on the East Coast, I think, still. Anyway, I'm, you know, I'll never really know. So recorded my first album when I was 12 and put out my first single when I was 13. And I became
number one.
Yeah, I became the youngest solo artist to have a number one single on Billboard.
But what I found really interesting is that like your face wasn't on the promo sleeves. So everyone was listening and you listened to that song. And you're like, this is a young woman, a young R&B woman, like, you know, probably black. And then, as you say, people were really shocked when they discovered your age and race, right?
Prepubescent white girl, yeah. And I was thinking about this very grown experience of, you know, breaking up with someone and kicking them out of your life. And I didn't have any experience with that. I'm sure people were like, oh my gosh, what has this girl been through? Like, this poor baby. But it's not as if I wrote the song. It was a perfectly, you know, a Scandinavian crafted pop song that actually felt much too pop for my own sensibility and my own experience, because I always considered myself a soul singer. So when this song came that ended up changing my life, and, you know, I am grateful to that song. It's not like I have any weird feelings toward it. It has afforded me incredible opportunities, but I didn't get it like at first. I cut the song reluctantly, and I'm really glad I did. And apparently I cut it with some type of conviction, passion behind it, because it resonated.
But I mean, and then you go on to get another number one with Little Too Late.
That was from my second album. So yeah, first album came out. My first tour ever was supporting Usher on his European Confessions tour. Unbelievable. Crazy. Just so crazy.
Did he teach you to dance?
I still don't know how to dance. So no.
But that's the whole point. Didn't he teach Justin Bieber how to dance?
Well, that's favoritism, isn't it?
And that's sexism in the industry.
I thought Usher taught everyone how to dance.
No, not me.
Was he nice?
He, you know, yeah, but I was also like a little girl. So he was just, he would be distant, yeah, right. And like, I very much was a little girl. But I got to see him. I watched a show every single night. And as you know, even just being able to watch somebody at the top of their game, I find that to be very inspiring and great education. So I learned a lot from that. And then started working on my second album. I was 15 when that came out. And then Too Little Too Late. I had a huge international song with that. And I did a couple movies. Did a movie with Robin Williams. And I did a movie, filmed it in Australia, called Aquamarine. And then that's when things started to not be good with my record label. They were upset that they weren't profiting off of that. And then they were exercising the right that they have in my contract, which is that they own my voice. And so they wouldn't approve my singing voice on anything. So then that started to become an issue where they would ask for exorbitant fees to have me feature on something. And then people would be like, oh, we're not paying that. That's insane. So it started to reflect poorly on me. Yeah. And anyway, that's when things started to just kind of really go in a not good place. And they started to not be in a good place with their own business dealings and relationships. And I was finding myself being a casualty of that. And I knew that I wanted to probably wait till I was 18 to put out the next record, but I was in the studio from probably 17 to 18.
Joe, where were you living while all this was happening? Were you based in New Jersey or in LA?
No, actually, by the time I was 15, my mom had bought her first home in Massachusetts. We went back to where we are from. And so I was in Massachusetts at that time, and I lived there until I was 19. Well, I moved out. I got my own place in the city. When I was 18, I was like, woo, I am doing my own thing. But I was in Massachusetts from 15 to 19, and I was being tutored and like homeschooled. So that's how I got my diploma.
Do you feel you've missed out on education because of the music?
I got a really good education, actually, from my homeschool teacher.
But you didn't go to prom or anything?
I did go with my best friend to prom, but it was different because I was quite famous. So it was kind of awkward, you know, and like people just kind of...
So the boys didn't toss you out?
No. And people just kind of ogle at you. And like, you know, I don't feel bad for myself at all. It was just like, okay, this is weird. Like, this is not comfortable. This is not what prom is. Mm. And I probably made other people feel uncomfortable. Like, it was just a weird thing, you know? But the only thing because I ended up being in a long-term dispute with my record label, and I ended up at I think I might've filed the first lawsuit around 18 or 19. And then a second one at like 21, 22, because they just would not let me go.
Was this to get released? You wanted to go?
It was to get released because they were no longer a functioning record label. They had burned a lot of bridges, and I was continuously a casualty of that.
And you weren't able to sing or put music out. So you were just stuck.
Because I didn't own my voice, so I couldn't profit off of my voice. So I started to put out mixtapes and just like do things just to literally stay afloat, stay alive, stay somewhat relevant. But I felt like they were trying to like smoke me out. Like they just like, they were like, well, you know, we're just whatever. It was really incredibly frustrating, but I try not to live with regret. But the only thing is that I moved to LA when I was 19 because I wanted to make things work with the label. I wanted to put out an album. I wanted to do that. And I wish that I had gone to college, you know, during that time. It would have just been a different thing. I did commit to Northeastern University in Boston, and I was going to go for sociology. And I just never matriculated. I never went ahead and did that. So I think that there's like some unexplored potential that I had as a more, as a student.
If you hadn't done music, what would you have studied?
I was going to study sociology and cultural anthropology. I'm really interested in culture and how it affects us. And I thought that I could apply that also to music, that I could apply that to, you know, my touring and to just being a human being.
Did you have music tuition? So can you read music? Can you write music?
I cannot like easily read music. I've done like a couple workshops where like I've had to, I don't deserve a gold star or a pat on the back, but I can kind of see what's going on. But no, I didn't. I'm not deeply educated.
And you don't play an instrument?
Aren't you learning?
I'm actually learning now during quarantine.
Yeah.
I'm learning my songs on piano, and that's giving me a sense of growth and like that studiousness that I'm tapping back into that I really like.
But so you went and then re-recorded your first two albums. You re-recorded them
because
in 2018.
Because my former record label never made a deal with the streaming services. So that's why you can't find Aaliyah's music on Spotify or Apple Music as well. That music is just not there.
I've never thought about that.
You can find it on YouTube. I think it's an absolute tragedy to her legacy. And it's
absolutely
really,
why can't you? I don't understand.
Because every label has to make make a deal with the streaming services to put their music up on there.
So why don't they agree it now? That's a
great question. I don't have an answer for you. It's nonsensical. And it feels like anti-commerce. It's like, why would you not want to profit off of this stuff that you own? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but I have really tried to like, just not try to make sense of it because it's so frustrating. So my stuff wasn't available, but I'm still here. Aaliyah is not here to protect and continue her music career and protect her history, you know? So I felt like I was being erased. Mm. And I felt like it was, I was also tired of seeing people on the internet being like, why did you take your first two albums down from Spotify? I'm like, I don't own those masters. I didn't do that. I would never have done that. That is so weird. Like, as if I'm embarrassed by my first two albums. I'm not. They sold millions of records and they changed my life. So I like to be more solution oriented. And I was like, well, what can I do instead of being fucking pissed? You know what I mean? And just angry. And I realized that I could basically cover my own material and create new masters that satisfy the same nostalgic experience that people probably want to have when they're listening to those first two albums of mine. And I had my musical directors and producer friends recreate these tracks as similarly to the originals as possible. And I went in and re-recorded every single song and did it as close to the original as possible while still like allowing for the fact that I'm a woman now as opposed to, you know, a little girl, and my voice has changed, but same keys, same backgrounds, all that.
I mean, your voice is phenomenal. It's kind of,
thank you.
It's kind of like otherworldly, the shit that you do with your voice. It's just, it's ridiculous, to be honest. To be frank, it's ridiculous.
And thank you.
I know you've talked about the fact that you, I'm not sure, Mad Love, the record, you weren't too, it was a bit of a funny time.
I really appreciate a cohesive body of work. I really like something that feels like it's thoughtful and it makes sense. And I just didn't get to have that satisfaction with Mad Love. I didn't have any fight left in me to be like, you know, I'm putting my foot in the sand for this and I'm going to fall on this sword. I had no fight left in me. I just wanted to put something out because it had been 10 years. I put my second album out when I was 15. Mad Love didn't come out till I was 25. I was like, this makes no sense. I have to put something out. I'm desperate to put something out. And what'd you say, Ma? Yeah, it is a good album. But I'm saying it could have even been better. It could have even been better. Of course, it's a very good album. It did very well. I'm proud of it. But yeah, there were really good songs in there. But there was a flow that I was missing.
I understand that. And I think,
It felt more like song, going to different places, different producers, as you know, I'm sure you've had this experience of like 50 first dates. You're like, let me have this session with this person and this session with this co-writer and producer. And I'm like, where's the flow?
I know. I've made my new record with one producer and it feels so much better. It just makes more sense to me. And it's just kind of, coherent, cohesive. It does all that. So, I mean, look, fast forward, you do this record. It's really great. Last year you won a Grammy for Best R&B Song.
Yeah, with PJ Morton.
Sexy. You're full of sex now. That's it. Oh, you just got the sex. It's just sex, isn't it? Now, are you seeing anybody?
That's what I was just going to ask. Talking of sex, have you got a boyfriend?
No, I don't have a boyfriend.
Why? You're gorgeous.
Thank you. And I cook. Lenny, what the hell?
And she cooks.
She bakes, goddammit.
She bakes and cooks. You're gorgeous.
Thank you. No, I have a bit of a... you know, a situationship, but my mom thinks that's funny. Ma, can you come say hi?
What does your mom think about
say
that?
Hi. You're beautiful. Come on.
Come on.
My mom and I are just, how cute is she?
Oh my God, she should say,
oh my
hi.
God, she's like, look at the hair as well.
You're beautiful. Wow, she's so young. Gorgeous. Are you her sister?
Yeah.
They can't hear. You're beautiful. Look at your hair.
I'm disgusting.
You're beautiful.
No, you're not. What are you talking about?
Anyways, yeah, this is so fun. So they're asking me if I have a boyfriend, and now I'm just going to tell them that I don't, but it's, you know, it's a situation, and I am just really focused on myself still. Yeah.
Okay, now you can't get rid of me. No.
I guess like, I mean, look, we should probably talk a bit about food as well, because that is actually the podcast.
So when you were young, what was, besides going to, what's it called, Boston Market?
Yeah.
Which I would definitely go to every day of the week if I had it near. Maybe we should open one up here, darling.
Oh, it's so good.
A nice rotisserie chicken is the best. Mm. So besides Boston Market, what is your favourite food to eat when you were little? What did you eat a lot of?
When I was little, I loved chicken fingers and french fries.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't?
I know, right?
Who doesn't? Yeah.
Yeah, chicken fingers and french fries and cereal, lots of cereal. Just some real, real simple.
Which cereal?
I like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I like Cheerios.
Oh, it's the best. It's the bloody best. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best thing in the world. Cinnamon Grahams, is that what we have here?
Yeah.
And we also, my mom also tried to do like a healthier cereal with these things called grape nuts.
Grape nuts.
I don't have them. Yeah. Grape nuts.
And then and you were like, don't give me that shit.
Yeah, I actually really liked it, because then we'd put like, you know, like a Splenda or Equal vibe on top of it, and then cut up some like bananas and strawberries. I love that still, actually.
So what do you cook now? What's your favorite dish to cook now?
So now I am experimenting with a plant-based lifestyle, and I've been in and out of that for a long time.
Oh God, you're so LA, Jojo. You changed.
I am.
Girl.
I know. I have changed. I'm a brand new bitch, Jessie. I don't know what to tell you.
No more rotisserie chicken, Jess. It's all bloody plant-based mince now.
It's kale now. Come on, you're eating then.
But listen, I'm not a perfect plant-based person. So like, I will still have a nice, you know, like a Nashville hot chicken every once in a while. I'll do some stuff like that. It's actually not a video. It's just a podcast, but we're just experiencing each other. Yeah, so it's not like you're going to be honest.
Just for the listeners, Joe's mum is putting fingers behind Joe's ears. She's really behaving very maturely, and we're loving every moment of it. And it's
okay.
Brilliant.
So what type of things have I been making? I've been experimenting with different sauces. So I made like a jerk sauce from scratch, and I made some Beyond meatballs. So Beyond Meat is you know what I'm saying? It's that plant-based meat. And so the jerk sauce was dope. I made a vegan Alfredo sauce with peas and broccoli, and then did like a seaweed rotini pasta. And I just did a, what was that thing? A vodka sauce. Sauce was off the chain.
Oh,
all this from scratch, like soaking the cashews and then blending them up.
Oh, lovely.
And, wow. So I've been enjoying that. So yeah, lots of just different sauces. Really liking going to the grocery store and seeing what vegetables they have and just experimenting with them, baking.
How long has this plant-based romance been going?
Well, I started a couple tours ago because my doctor, my ear, nose and throat doctor, was like, you might want to experiment with like not eating dairy. I'm like, oh. And like anti-inflammatory diet, you know, like chill with the spicy food. I'm like, wait, chicken tikka masala is my favorite dish. I want it medium spice. I want a nice Saag Paneer. Like, I want all that. I love Indian food so much. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work. But I gave it a whirl a couple tours ago, and I was fully vegan. And I was like, okay, I actually do find my recovery vocally to be better when I avoid dairy. So I've been dabbling in it for like probably 4 years. Again, I'm not perfect. I will have a drunken chicken wing.
Do you have problems with your voice? Do you have to try and preserve it?
I do.
Yeah, Jesse's the same.
Yeah, I've had some issues. And that's why I've been seeing the same ENT for a long time, and had tried to experiment with different things. My allergies have been really bad. I'm on sublingual immunotherapy. I'm like allergic to nature.
No, babe.
You know, like, so when I'd be on tour, I'd have different environmental allergies, and it was tough. It was really, really tough. So yeah, I've been trying to take care of my voice as much as possible.
And you're 27 now.
I'm 29 now.
Shit, that's so
29.
Old.
Okay.
I know. I'm really.
Oh, you're past it, babe. That's it. It really resonated with me how you speak about being a woman in the industry. I mean, you've had an incredibly bizarre and somewhat horrendous journey to this point.
It's been fucking crazy.
Where, I mean, it's probably the worst industry story I've heard. And, you know, you hear a few, right? But like, I mean, you seem like you're in such a good place. And I love how kind of philosophical you are. And you're not bitter. You kind of, I don't know, you feel like you're philosophical about it. And it seems like you're doing pretty damn well now. Like, you know, you made a brilliant record, you're winning Grammys, you're getting to do what you want to do. Do you feel life's all right apart from being on lockdown during an album promo campaign?
I really do feel like life's all right, and I feel so lucky. And that's interesting that you said that I seem kind of philosophical about it. You're right, actually. I'm very interested in philosophy. I'm like, because I didn't get to go to college, I've kind of like I came up with my own life curriculum of things that interest me, like, you know, whether it's based in like some spirituality and some self-help and, you know, ancient texts, and really rooted in gratitude, though, because where I come from and what I've experienced and where I am today, and the fact that I have everything that I need and I still want to continue to grow. I think it's that I've shifted my mindset so much over the years. I am in a good place.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When the lockdown ends, which is the first meal you're going to eat when you go out?
Oh, I'm so excited. I actually, because I miss, like, you know, a multi-course meal, I love restaurants. I ordered, one of my favorite restaurants has been doing this thing where you can go pick up from them and they'll like, they'll plate it and they'll court. It's this place called Bavel. In downtown LA.
Somebody else, Benny Blanco told me about it the other day.
Yes.
On the phone. He was like, you've been to Babel, he calls it.
Babel,
it
yep. Babel? Yeah, I don't know. Sure, but Babel. And then yeah. Bestia is right across from the Warner Building.
Bestia actually. Is amazing.
Bestia is one of my favorites. So yeah. Honestly, Lenny, I will probably want to go to Bestia, and I'm not going to eat plant-based when I'm there because they have this like this bone marrow thing. I'm sorry. Like,
you're going in.
My vegan followers are going to friggin' be so upset with me. But you know what? I'm just telling the truth. They have this crazy bone marrow dish where they put it on this like this little tiny orangetti pasta. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it is off the fucking chain. I'm salivating just thinking about it. And but I'm still like, yesterday I ordered sugarfish. I just love decided sugarfish. To be really bougie.
Yeah, so did.
Yeah, so I had I've still eaten some nice things even in under quarantine, because I as much as I like cooking for myself, I also really love other people cooking.
Absolutely.
What would be, if you were going to be sent on a desert island? Mind you, I think we all feel like we're on a desert island at the moment.
Yeah.
What would be your last supper?
Starter, main, and dessert, and drink of choice.
I got you, because I've thought about this a lot. I'm like, if I was on death row, you know, that's how I thought. But yeah. Actually, this desert island sounds better.
I call it death row. She calls it desert island. Because
I don't believe in the death penalty.
I feel you. Okay, I would have a medium spice chicken tikka masala with basmati rice, saag paneer, mango chutney, a Diet Coke. And for an appetizer, I would have samosas. I love Indian food. Like, that's what
You're going full. But babe, Indian food in LA is shit.
I know. Like, friggin'.
It's not great. Is it?
Dishoom in London?
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
Is that among your favorites, or is there a better place that I should go to next time?
I mean, that one's become like, it's brilliant. And I think as a like.
It's sophisticated. It's not like kind of earthy Indian.
It's wonderful.
It's so ambitious, and the way they're doing, I love
it. We need to bring you to Tooting. You need to come to Tooting with us and come and like have a proper, you know, Lahore Karahi.
But
Dishoom is amazing.
What's your place around the corner, Jessie?
Oh my God, bless them. Apparently it's brilliant. So I've moved into this new area, and there's this place that I was like, oh, bless them. It says 2 stars, yeah? And I was like, why would you give yourselves only 2 stars? But everyone in the area has been like, have you tried 2 Sisters? And I'm like, oh no, but I saw that 2 stars. They're like, that's 2 Sisters. And it's amazing. I said, why would they give themselves only 2 stars? And they call themselves 2 Sisters. But it's fantastic, apparently. Anyway.
So go on. You've got your samosa to start.
What's your dessert?
Oh, I love.
Not Indian.
I would probably go full Indian. I would do. Galoob jamun, you know, it's like the
dough balls.
And like the maple syrup. I love it. But let's see, if I was going to go in a different route, maybe I would go with like a wild blueberry pie with, you know, like a vanilla bean ice cream. I do love ice cream. Oh, so maybe I would do like a salted caramel or like a, no, butter, what's it called? Butter pecan. I know that sounds like an old lady palate, but I really do like that.
I love that.
I love butter pecan.
And so what, is it a Diet Coke then you're going to be drinking?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going down, that's the Diet Coke.
Well, it's just, it complements those flavors. So
do you still drink? Yeah, you still drink, right?
I do. I have my little bar set up right here. I am a mixologist now. I'm really enjoying it. I've been making these lemon mezcal margaritas. So it's just
they sound dangerous.
It's Grand Marnier, mezcal, a lot of lemons, and a salt and pepper rim.
Salt and pepper.
Ice off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Cocktails at JoJo's.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Have you got good table manners?
No, I actually don't. I don't know how to act. I was raised by wolves. I really don't know how to act. Like, I will have my friggin' elbows there. Like, you know, actually, this has been something that I've been self-conscious about. I was dating this guy who comes from like a very well-to-do family, and like had like a proper education, and he was sent away to boarding schools and like knows how to, I was like, I don't even know where to put a fork, or like I don't know how to cut properly. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I'm just winging it. I just have to get by with my charm.
Well, you would definitely. But what table manners do you hate in other people? What annoys you?
What annoys me in other people? Well, like when you're out to eat, I am so turned off by people who are rude to waiters. I mean, that's not a table manner though.
It is. Yeah. That so many people have said that one. No, it is.
I think that's awful.
It is horrible. I want to know, do you hate karaoke? Because I absolutely
do.
Oh, you do. So you don't have a karaoke song. What would it be if I put a knife to your throat and said, you've got to sing in karaoke?
Oh, wow. That is amazing. I would probably do like Creep by TLC.
Oh, good. Yes, very good one.
How does that go, darling?
The 22nd of loneliness. And we've been through so many things. Like T-Boz had this,
you
has
sound
this really.
Like her.
Yeah, she has this ill tone, this very low. I love my man with all honesty. So that's the verse, Lenny. And then the hook is like, so I creep. Yeah, keep it on the down low. Say nobody is supposed to know. So I'll probably do something like that. Or I would do No Scrubs by TLC, because then I would also do.
Oh, I love Scrubs. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Scrub is a guy you think he's fly. And then I would do the. Is there a rap in there? Did Left Eye have a rap in there?
You can put one in because it's karaoke. Yeah.
Jojo, you're just, I love you. And
I love you too, Jessie.
But I really...
I wish you'd come to our house. Normally we do it with someone coming to my house and we eat and we cook
for
you.
Can I please come later?
Yeah, we'll take a rain check, Jessie. Yeah.
Yes, we will. But Joe, it's been such a pleasure. I think like you are really inspiring and I am so happy you're back making brilliant music and everyone can hear that damn voice. Because Jesus Christ, we missed it for a while. And yeah.
And it's gorgeous and you're gorgeous and you should turn the situation into a relation.
Okay, Ricky.
Thank you, Lenny.
Go, Lenny. Go, Lenny. Go Lenny.
I love it.
I mean, what's the plan with record being out? Obviously doing live things at your house. Have you got any tours booked in 2021 or?
Yeah, moved the tour. I was supposed to be on tour right now and then we moved it to the end of the year. Still remains to be seen. I mean, it's probably going to be pushed to 2021. Right. And
are you coming to Europe?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Are you coming to London?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll do at least one show there.
Let's see us. Yeah,
so I'll definitely see.
Mum, her fans are like... devoted.
I'm sure they are. I'm going to be from now and I'm going to get the blonde hair and wear a t-shirt.
I love it. London is actually like one of my favorite places to play. I'm not just saying that because I'm speaking to you guys, but London is where I think my streams are even the highest there. It's just people are really, really incredibly supportive over there.
Well, we can't wait to see you when it happens.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure
chatting to you. And honestly, you're a joy, you're sunshine. And thanks
Thank
so
you,
much.
I
just
will.
Look after yourself. Send my love to your mum. She's fantastic too.
Oh, thank you. And Jessie, I can't wait to hear your new record.
Oh, you're so cute. I like you a lot. And honestly, it's a fun record. And I think, you know, it's kind of like the PG-13 to your sexy. I've kind of done a sexy, ooh. I've done a flirtatious record, but I feel like yours is the full blown, like, let's actually have sex to this. So mine is the cocktail and nibbles just before they go and really commit
Jessica.
To it.
I just let it all spread it out.
Jessica, please, enough.
Mum?
Yeah?
How lovely is she?
She's so sweet.
She's really good fun, isn't she? I really liked her.
She was so not bitter.
I know.
I want to go and put dynamite under the record label.
I know. I really enjoyed that. I think she's just real full of sass, full of talent.
Well, I didn't really know her before today when I read a little about her.
But you would have known the songs, right?
I knew the songs, but I didn't know her. And I certainly didn't know she was 13 when she recorded the songs. But what a gorgeous girl. She was just like a ray of sunshine, really lovely and positive. That's what you need when you're in lockdown. You need positivity. So I don't think she'd be fazed by anything. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad luck that she manages to get out of this like 10-year deal battle.
But she wasn't cross or anything. Here she is.
Well, she won a Grammy last year.
Well, that's all right then.
And she's made the record that she wants to make. It's got amazing reviews. She's got number one in the R&B chart. She's doing all right, our Jojo.
Yeah. I might get extensions, darling.
Oh my God, imagine.
If I can't get it cut, I might just put the extensions in.
Can we just talk about the comment on Instagram that somebody said yesterday when I put up a picture of my little brother who accidentally was on The One Show, which was very funny. The best comment that we've ever had about my mother, or definitely up there, was this one. Hello, little Colton. I'm looking at you. A family of bloody celebs. Clap, clap, clap. Lenny was the original Kris Jenner.
Oh, bloody hell. No, I'm not, because I haven't created Kardashian children. Thank goodness.
Okay. Well, you imagine if we got Kris Jenner on and Lenny and Kris went head to head.
Head to head.
Wow.
Who'd out mother who?
Celebrity death match.
Who'd out momage who?
Thank you to everyone that listened. Thank you to everyone who is writing into us, who is just making us laugh so much.
We and do cooking have the best... from our cookbook.
Yeah, you are doing an amazing
fabulous
job. Oh my God, my friend Cam sent me, maybe I can get it over the microphone. Hold on. This is her dad. So, you can't see it, but she sent me this and said, I thought you'd appreciate this. My dad made the stufado last night. And this is what she sent me. This is him having the stufado. He's also dancing. He's doing the Zorba the Greek or whatever as he holds the stufado and serves up. Really appreciated that.
Quite right. He's got the whole picture.
Thank you to the darling Jojo for telling your story, for giving us some sunshine and positivity and just being a lot of fun. We really, really enjoyed that. And thank you to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Table Manners, Special Circumstances are signing out for now. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.